Freeform Radio is back on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network, on Twitter under FFR Podcast. And remember to send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. And don't forget to get your ears in check, because you're going to get a whole load full of conversation. Again, this is Freeform Radio, and today we have our usual hosts. We have Daniel.
Yes, sir. I'm here over here in Melrose Park, Illinois, chilling.
And we have Noel.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
So, we're back. It's another marvelous episode, and we want to fill your ears up. So, I'm going to toss this over to Noel. He's doing something new. I didn't even know what this sport had a name. It's what, if I could read this right, Noel. Froffling?
It's Froffing.
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 Froffing. It sounds very German.
Maybe it is. I haven't looked into the origins of this sport. The ancient Germans throwing frisbees. Now, I have no idea where it came from, but it's something we've been doing the past couple weekends. My cousin Ismael is the one that got me into it. He's somewhat of a connoisseur for all these like unusual things. So we went over the weekend to this park that's nearby Elk Grove Village, and we met up with his friends who are, I would say, like more like pros at this game. Like they actually play. Yeah, like, well, I say pros because they compete. Like, so it's, if you're like a competitor and you actually play for money, well, that's almost like a profession, I guess. It's a little bit of a stretch, but it works for me. You know, they know their shit. Yeah, we didn't play for money. Hell no, but they do on their own time. They were just there to just kind of hang out and everything. We never met them before, and they work with Ismael, so we're like, oh, cool, you know, get a chance to meet his work buddies. And then we played a couple rounds, I think about two rounds. We were going to cut it short because of the UFC fight night that day, but we're like, fuck it, man. It was fun. Let's do another round. It's only 9 holes anyway. Normally we do 18, so it's like, all right, let's try a second game. And it was cool, man. Like, if I can just explain it quickly, you got each hole is like a certain distance away. So that's like maybe 200 to 300 feet away. And it'll usually show you a sign to say like, all right, there's, you know, this bush in the way, these trees in the way. And then on the other side, you'll see like a dot on the map thing that tells you where the basket will be. And if you look at the distance, yeah, usually you'll see the basket, you know, aside of all these bushes and trees and shit. So the goal is to get one of your discs, which is called the driver. Those discs, they have like an aerodynamic built into it so that it like curves the actual disc when you throw it up in the air. There's a certain way to throw as well. Like, it's not just, you're not just tossing like a normal frisbee. You're almost using like the torque of your waist as the momentum and the driving force to release the disc out. And when you do this, it gets a lot more speed acceleration, and it's just more controlled. So anyway, these guys, like I said, they're like pros. So they're doing like forearm throws, and like it's ridiculous the stuff they were doing. But thankfully they showed us like a couple of the basics, so we were able to get a little bit better. I'd say we're still very much novice, but it's so much fun, dude. Like, it's kind of addicting once you're out there in nature, because you don't just play like indoors or nothing. Mainly you're just gonna play around with like nature and stuff, like the woods or forest reserve.
So are there other people playing, or is it just you guys there?
Nah, depends on the park. Sometimes they'll be like a little bit, you know, quieter. There's not that many people. But this weekend we actually did have a good amount of people there. Not necessarily playing with us, but like there'll be groups of people playing at different holes. So you do kind of have to go at a certain pace. Otherwise, you can just tell the people, you know, that are catching up, they can go ahead of you and whatever, you know. It's based on just the unwritten code, you know. If you feel nice enough, like, hey, go ahead in front of me, because we're going to take a while.
Cool. Hey, so, you know, most sports have gears, you know, a gear that you can get, like bowling has that glove to keep your wrist straight, you know. Golfers have the plaid clothes with the polos. What's the gear for this sport, or is there any that you're aware of?
Well, I did notice with one of the guys that was there, his most friends, he had like a place marker that you would put down on the ground. So if I threw my disc and it landed in a certain area, I would go put my place marker down, pick up my disc, and that would be the spot from either me or whoever's on my team to throw from, right? And that was cool. I was like, I've never seen that. It's just like a smaller version of the big discs, you know? It's just a placeholder. And he had like a pack and everything with all the discs in there. And I haven't really looked into what accessories you can get. I'm sure there's gloves. I'm sure there's all sorts of things like visors and who knows what the fuck. But no, I'm not too sure what other stuff they have.
All I know from your sport is the chain link baskets. And the people I seen it, now that you described it, I seen it. People play at this local park where I live, and all the guys had ponytails.
Yeah, the man bun?
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say that. One of his most friends did have the man bun going. But, no, they're all cool people, man. Like, they're laid back. They're probably, I don't want to say stoners, but they give off the vibe of being cool people like that, you know, like surfing stoner people.
To just be chilling.
Yeah, it's a chill game, dude. It's not, although these guys get competitive. They were, supposedly, as Mel told me afterwards, he's like, that was, like, very chill compared to how he's seen them play. He's like, I've played with them before where it's more competitive, and they get pissed off whenever they, like, miss something. Not at other people, but at their own. Like, they critique themselves very hard. And I'm like,
so
damn.
When they score, do they go, in your face, take that, and then they start, you know, crotch chopping, or does it get that crazy?
Nah, man, it's not that insane. At least not when I play them. I don't know how they are outside of that, but it's a kind of a, how should I say this? Like, it's more of a polite sport. I mean, it depends who you're playing with, I guess, but
it's like general, cricket?
No, not quite that. Like,
it's like a gentleman's sport?
It is more of a gentleman's sport, but not that snobby, man. Like, it's, I don't even know how to describe it, dude. It's just more chill, more at relaxed, because you're not really running. You know, you're walking everywhere, and you do keep track of your score, right? Like, it still is like golf, where you're like, all right, we got par, or we got birdie, or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
It's a very it's just people with a different skill set than. I think what you're telling me has a culture unto itself. And like I said, when I saw those people play, they were unique people, to say the least. And but you could tell they've been doing it for a while because they were hitting. They got really far, and then they were getting it in that metal basket, man.
Yeah, if you
dumping
get
Gatorade on their dumping Gatorade on their heads when they score, and they're like, yeah.
Nah, they weren't doing that, man. They were like petting their dog, and then they were just smiling.
Yeah, that's what you get when you people watch, man. You get just a variety of different flavors and people out there, man. So unique people for sure. But now his most friends were very cool, man. Very helpful. Showed us the way. They weren't like criticizing. They were very because they've been at it for 3 years, I think. So. This is like my third time ever playing in my life. So according to how we did, they said we were doing very well. And anyway, that was all just part of a long weekend. We actually went fishing before that, me and my cousin Rob. And yeah, dude, we keep catching them fish, man. Largemouth bass, 3.5. Caught that one in 10 minutes.
So for that one, yeah, what bait are you using for some a fish that big?
That's the crazy thing, dude. Like, Rob was shocked because normally he doesn't expect, like, a largemouth bass to go for my lure. That's what I used. It was a lure. It was a small one at that. It wasn't even a big lure, like a big hook or nothing. And he was like, damn, dude, like, that's the biggest largemouth bass he has ever seen, let alone, like, he's never caught one that big. It's been like 2.5 to 3 pounds. Mine was 3.5. Like, we weighed it and everything. He has a special way to weigh it, like a scale.
Wow, like a portable scale he carries with him?
Yeah, so like you hold the scale up, and then it has like a hook at the end, and you put the fish's mouth on it. So it's literally just the fish's weight attaching to that.
Nice, nice. So you didn't try las arracheras? Usually that gets me the catfish I'm looking for, you know.
Damn. That's a good tactic. I'll have to see, look into that and try that tactic out. Now, do we just use a lure? Like, I use his fishing pole, right? Because I still haven't exactly, like, saved up to do all that yet. I'm eventually down the line. I'm going to do a bunch of shit, man. I'm going to start getting my fishing poles, get my FOID card, get my hunting license. There's this place, Northern Illinois, Winnebago County by Rockford, where you can go hunting for elk. And I'm really looking into a lot of stuff. But for now, I just use his traditional pole with, like, a small lure that has, like a reddish tint to it, kind of a little bit of, like, a hairy, like, feathers and stuff like that. And it's pretty cool, man. It's really fun.
Ah, cool, man. So this is the first I'm hearing about the hunting part. What got you a little interested in doing some hunting?
So I've been watching, binge watching this show, Alaskan State Troopers. And it's kind of like Cops, but, like, on steroids. Like, it's much cooler. It's every episode is, like, just drunk people and people hunting, and everybody's got guns, so the cops are always on high alert, and like there's just blizzards and storms. It's like every episode is just interesting, and so I've been watching it and having like more of a respect for like hunting. Not to mention Joe Rogan, he's like one of my the people I look up to, that I kind of like take a lot from his messages and his lifestyle. And so, yeah, that's kind of what's getting me into the hunting phase right now.
Oh, sweet, man. I think that sport might be a little bit more expensive. You know, getting a shotgun might be a little bit more expensive, or a bow, or I'm not sure what you're planning to use, than getting a fishing pole.
No, for sure. I mean, fishing poles are probably going to run you maybe like $50 to $100 at like the highest end, versus a gun will be like $1,000, but I mean, it's definitely baby steps. I'm going to definitely get my fishing stuff down because I'm still learning so much, dude. It's a learning curve for sure when you fish. Like, just being able to get the fish out of the water, and if you're not going to keep it, you have to take the hook out, like, precisely. Otherwise, you're going to injure the fish, and when you throw it back in the water, it might not survive, you know? So there's a learning curve for that, and I'm trying to get better at it in terms of, like, just the smoothness of fishing and catching and releasing, as well as keeping if it's large enough.
Would you eat it if it's large enough?
I already have, man. The 3.5 pounder that I got, I brought it home. I filleted it, and it was a bitch, dude. I didn't have the right equipment for it. Now I do. Now I do. I learned my lesson, but the very first time I made a fucking mess. And
you use the clipboard and then just scale it and you see all that crap fly off?
Well, no. It was a little bit harder process than that because I didn't have, like, a sharp enough knife. So it was a lot of sawing motions, you know, a lot of anger and sweat.
Damn, sweating?
Yeah, I finally got it done, though. You know, I got I think over a pound of meat out of it, and I skinned it and everything. So it's fillets, right? It's not like I know some people like to put it on the grill and, like, cook it, you know, completely, obviously without the guts, right? And then you just pick peel off the meat. But I'm not like that, dude. I'm like sitting around and peeling off meat off a bone. I want fillets. I want to be able to, like, you know, cut into it and take pieces at a time on a plate, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. To me, it's definitely better breast pieces. And I think you eat it more comfortable that you're not going to get a bone, you know, from maybe picking at, you know, something coming off of the fish with its scales still in, or not its scales, but its bone structure still on.
Yeah, I actually did get some bones, though, from the fish. Because when I cut it, I cut a little too near the rib cage. So, but they were, like, really large ones, so you could pull it out, you know. I was still eating with a fork and knife, so I was able to see it and then, like, kind of feel the texture, and I was like, okay, no big deal. And even if you do get a small bone here and there, your body digests some ridiculous amount of stuff, you know? We put some ridiculous amount of chemicals and stuff in our body that it is able to digest, so the bones aren't really that big of a concern as it was when I was a kid, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's that much the bones in your stomach. I think it's going down if a bone will get stuck kind of sideways in your throat and kind of just aggravate you and make you feel like you're choking.
I could see how that would go. Yeah, I haven't had anything like that happen, thank God, so I'm not really sure if that's a big issue for people. But no, the bones here, they were pretty big. I was able to pull them out. It was no issue. But yeah, that's pretty much what happened for me. I did watch the UFC fight, and we got the first round knockout for Justin Gaethje. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, it was a good weekend overall. How about you, Daniel? Well, how was the weekend for you?
No, it was pretty cool, man. Just kind of getting I think I mentioned it the last podcast, but just getting the last minute stuff for Junior and his school, because he started this past Monday was his first day. So I went into work a little bit late just so that I can drop him off. I like to see him off, you know, on his first day of school. So, yeah, did the usual, taking him to school with Alana, you know, kind of standing there in line, seeing his new friends, seeing the lack of enthusiasm on his face, you know, to return back to school after a vacation. So
you ruined his summer.
Yeah, man. You know, I don't remember being that upset, you know, or not upset, maybe that's not the right word, but just the lack of enthusiasm that he's returning back to school. And I don't really remember it being that bad for me. I kind of remember it being somewhat exciting to go back just because, you know, we didn't have social media or you know, whatever video game to kind of be like, oh, there's my friend, you know, from school, you know, hey, what's going on, what you up to, you know, kind of communicate or keep that line of communication together. We didn't have that. So when I didn't see George from school when I got out in grade school, I didn't see him again until, you know, school started again. So when I saw him, I was excited. You know, it's exciting to go back, catch up with friends, see new kids. You know, to me, it was more of an exciting atmosphere, you know, to go back to school. Obviously, you weren't looking forward to the schoolwork, but to me, the socializing part of it was the part that got me excited to go back. But yeah, it doesn't seem like he has that.
You weren't the kid that went to visit people in summer school to other people's houses. You go visit your fellow schoolmates, Danny?
Not really. I mean, it's weird, you know. I know you, Andy, you kind of lived in a close-knit community where you kind of visited your neighbors.
The hood.
Yeah, but, you know, for us, we would go visit, you know, some of the neighbor kids, but it wasn't like a frequent thing.
Well, you were in the city at that time, right?
Yeah. When I was in grade school, I was still living in the city. So I don't know if it was just like my dad's kind of MO of, hey, you got a house, you shouldn't be over at somebody else's house. So, you know, like
that might be it.
When you go over to some other kid's house, you know, my dad wouldn't really like that too much. He'd be like, you know, come on home. This is what we pay this house for, so you can have a place to live, a place to stay, a place to, you know, play with your brothers. You know, I don't want you out in the street with other kids that I don't know. So yeah, it was just different, but it was kind of you know, not disheartening, but kind of sad to see him so lack of enthusiasm. I hope he really finds something to engage him this year and kind of get him more excited about school. And I think he's talking about maybe joining the band because a couple of his cousins are in band, so I think it's that music bug is kind of hitting him to maybe try it out. So hopefully after we sign him up, he gets a little more excited and a little more enthusiastic about maybe being in school again.
Now, do you think that is your son not more inclined when school runs when school's starting, does he get excited, or is he Does he talk about it? Because I remember growing up, I used to get excited going back to school, like for the first day. Then after that, it sucked. Because the first day you really do anything. Is he like that, or is he just like, man, I don't want to go. Screw this.
Yeah, he doesn't really want to go at all. he enjoyed his time off, you know, playing Fortnite and whatever the goofy games, his Roblox and other things that he's into. So he wasn't too excited about going back to school, and especially the homework. That's the part that he was dreading the most. He's like, man, I don't want to do homework. I don't want to be in any of this. I just want to be chilling, doing fun stuff. And maybe my pep talk didn't help him either, because I told him, I'm like, this year is going to be more serious. There's not going to be that much, color in this pumpkin. It's Thanksgiving. Let's do some coloring. So I told him it's going to be more serious, more math, more reading, book reports, stuff like that. So I don't know if I kind of bummed him out, and he was just like, oh, shit, man. There goes the good life. Now it's back to doing hard school work instead of having fun with my friends.
Yeah, I would get excited, but only for the first day. After that, like, yeah, it sucks because you didn't do nothing the first day. You just get to show off the shit your parents bought you, and the teacher's like, where are you from? And like 90% of the time, I knew everybody in the classroom.
Yeah. So hopefully he improves a little bit, because you know, I don't want to see him struggle, and I don't want to see him be sad and kind of go through it, just kind of, you know, edging him and pushing him along. I want him to be excited and kind of motivate himself into, you know, doing well in school.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you can try to get him in sports. You never know if, like, he gets into football, he makes a lot of friends, then he has, like, more of an incentive during the week, like, something to do, something to talk about.
Yeah, I've been kind of mentioning it to him. He was telling me today about his class, and he was telling me how his gym class are going to start soccer, so he seemed pretty excited about that. So maybe you're right. Maybe sign him up to some kind of sports or some kind of after-school activity. But like I mentioned, the only thing he was really kind of interested in at the moment was maybe joining band. But I think that's more because of his cousins being into music, that he wants to kind of have that, you know, connection with them and have that conversation with them as well. But yeah, he's back in school. So far, so good, you know. They haven't given him any homework, so no complaining that I've heard when I've gotten home. So, so far, so good. And even me, I started school as well. My class was on Saturday while his was on Monday. I got a weekend course that I'm taking.
Nice.
So I'm hoping that'll go by quick, just like Junior's probably thinking, you know, let's get this thing over with so we can get back to the partying and kicking back, drinking some beer.
How long is that Saturday class? Is that a 3 or 4 hour class?
Yeah, man, it's forever. It starts at 8:30 and it lets out at 12:30. So it's a good run, man, for sure. You know, I don't really like classes like that are really long, because they kind of cram two classes into one, which sometimes doesn't give you time to really digest what you're learning, because you're getting this huge abundance of information. And no matter how good you take notes, by the end, you know, after 2-3 hours into it, you kind of start, you know, like, getting into a daze where you can't make head or tail sometimes, and it's just like, really, you know, it's a lot. It's definitely a lot. So the first day was kind of intense. We jumped right into it. It's an electrical course, so you jump right into it, you know, jump into that Ohm's law and jump into all the, you know, series and parallel circuits. And it was just like really, really intense. And I've kind of dabbled in that to begin with, so I kind of knew a little bit, so I wasn't outside of my comfort zone, but at the same time, it was a lot of information all at once in one long ass class.
Did they at least give you free coffee, man?
No, everything you have to pay for, but you can use your mobile pay, phone, you know, Apple Pay, whatever, at the vending machines if you want to. You know, you don't have to carry cash anymore nowadays.
Oh, that's interesting.
Is the class a lot of a lot of senior citizens as yourself, Danny?
No, not too many. There's a few, to be honest. This class was a really big mix of students. There were one older gentleman. There was one guy that beats me. He's probably like in his 50s maybe. And then the rest were like in their 30-ish. And then there were even a couple teenagers that weren't even 18 that they're taking it as a junior elective from their high school.
Do you bully them?
They were actually sitting next to me. And, you know, I'm not too shabby. You know, if I do say so myself at some math, you know, I do kind of pride myself at that. And when the teacher's spitting out these math problems, I'm writing out the problem. And as I'm writing it out, these kids next to me, they're just spitting out answers, dude. They're just like, yeah, 24, 72, boom. And they're just spitting it out. And I'm barely just writing it down. Now, granted, I'm writing it down from my notes so I can kind of make heads or tails in case the problem's kind of difficult. I can go back to my notes and kind of see how we came up with the solution. But these kids, they were just spitting out answers like left and right. And it did make me feel a little old, you know, that it took me a little time. And, you know, my old arthritis hand had to write down all the questions before I could spit out an answer.
So do you and the other senior citizen wait for them outside in the parking lot ready to fuck them up? You're like, hey, don't answer so quick next time, assholes.
It's like Dazed and Confused. You got like a fucking paddle ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, it was pretty cool, the class, to be honest. I've taken other electrical courses, and sometimes the teacher really kind of skyrockets through it. You know, he kind of just, you know, drills through all the stuff and just kind of finishes it really quick. And where this teacher seemed to go into a little more detail, and I actually had an opportunity to kind of learn a lot more stuff, things that other teachers have kind of covered, but not in great detail as this teacher did. I believe he's Polish. I forget his name now, but it's something ski.
really, Danny, what's wrong with you?
Well, his last name is something ski. I don't remember.
That's like 10% of the Chicago population.
Yeah, no, I'm not crapping on him. I say he's a smart guy. I believe he's Polish. I didn't ask him his nationality, but he seemed really like he knew what he was talking about. Even when one of the students kind of threw out a question that had nothing to do with what we were studying, you know, it was kind of like, oh, well, if it's in a series, you know, and resistors do this, then what about if we go like this and like that? And it was something totally different that I saw the teacher kind of stop. He composed himself, and I'm like, oh, shit, this guy doesn't know. All he knows is this is the book. This is what I know. I'm regurgitating what the information is. But after like a minute of just kind of, you know, taking his time and kind of looking into the problem, he spit out the answer, and he's just like this, like this, like this. And then the student was satisfied with his question. It was really cool to see, and kind of gave you a good feeling like, all right, this guy, he's going to take the time to kind of explain things. Hopefully, and so hopefully the course will be really cool, and you know, I get to come out of it, you know, knowing a little bit more.
Oh yeah, man.
Hopefully, man. Yeah, that's the whole purpose of going to school. Learn
for sure, man. Well, while I'm learning some stuff, Andy, I heard that you're doing some extracurricular activities too, man. That you joined the softball team at your work. You know, I'm getting drilled and getting headaches, but maybe you're going to be getting other aches from your softball.
So, yeah, I got asked to, this is how quick things happen in the world of professional sports. Take notes, Noel. So, we had our company picnic, and they brought out the softball. This guy at work brings out his softball stuff. I guess everybody, I didn't play because, you know, I didn't want to show off my skills. And apparently everybody got motivated. They're like, let's start a team. Granted, last year there was discussions of having joining this league that's by our job. I think they asked like a billion people and everybody said, nah, man, I don't want to do that garbage. So this year we had our company picnic. They had the usual softball game, and somehow this year everybody's like, man, we're pretty fucking good. Let's start a team. So they started the team up, and I was asked yesterday, like, hey, man, we're going to start a softball team. You want in? And I'm like, man, I thought about it. Like, you know what? I think I will. You know, fuck it. I might be old, but I still fucking got it. So, you know, right. You agree with me, Dan? Cleats. Shit, man, I'm going to teach these motherfuckers a thing or two, you know?
You had to dust off your cup, or what are you planning to put in there, man?
Man, I don't need none of that shit. I ride old school. I'm not even wearing a helmet. So, Jesus. So yeah, right. So I'm there and I'm talking to the guy who's starting it. He's like, yeah, man, you know, we could use it. We got like 10 guys, blah, blah, blah. So like I said, I pontificated. Did I say that right? That's a nice word, man. Right? Hell yeah. I don't even know if I said it right. But anyways, I was there thinking about it and I said, fuck it, let me do it. And so granted, this was like a couple days ago. So I was talking to people at work and I was like, you know, man, I hope these guys take it seriously because I don't go there just to fucking lose. I gotta have kind of competitive when it comes to stuff like that. So I was like, let me talk to this guy who's kind of helping organize and everything. He's like, yo, man, like, relax. It's a recreational league. It's just for guys to have fun. And I'm like, fuck that, man. If I'm going, I'm going to win. So I started asking questions like, hey, man, so where's this at? When's the games? Oh, let me send you the email with all the paperwork, right? So he sends the email, and it has, like, all the league rules. I'm like, all right. So I started reading the rules, like no drinking or smoking. So I'm like, well, that kind of sucks. There's no contact. There is people got to keep track of their own scores. And I'm just like, man, this is getting kind of hard. And then the best part is there's an actual slaughter rule. If you're down 10 runs, you're fucking done. You know, they cancel the game. And I'm just like, fuck that, man. What happens? There's like chicks there and stuff, and they see us getting creamed. And then they go hang out with
laughing,
the other.
Laughing, pointing.
Yeah,
fingers.
Laughing, pointing at them. And I'm like, man, they're going to think our company is a bunch of losers, man. Like, I don't know if I can handle that, man. And then I was told to take it easy. This is for fun. I'm like, fuck that, man. I'm here to win. You know, I played high school baseball and shit, you know. I played Little League. Like, I take this shit seriously.
You got the tobacco tin ready to go and just fucking dip?
Fuck yeah, I got the dip. I got the Bazooka Joe.
Shit.
And then...
Do they still make those Bazooka Joes?
Fuck yeah, you can still get those.
I didn't know that.
I don't know if around. The comic... I always wondered, did they reuse the comics or they make new ones every year? That's what I've never been able to confirm.
Yeah, the gum wrapper used to be a comic, right?
Right. So that's what I'm asking. You think those are... they just reuse them, or they make a new set every year?
I haven't even seen Bazooka Joes in the stores. So to be honest, I thought they were, you know, gone to the way of the dodo, and they're
so,
not here anymore.
If you watch the games, they got buckets of that shit there. They have like a Bazooka Joe bucket with all the gum, which I'm hoping we have at our softball game. But so like... And then I was talking, going back to the game real quick. So, again, they keep emphasizing fun. And I'm thinking, am I the only asshole who wants to win? And, like, I don't want no everybody gets a trophy fucking thing, man. I want to win the whole fucking thing. So then I heard through the grapevine, somebody in the office was like, oh, yeah, man, you know, I'll play, but is it only for fun, you know? I don't want some guy yelling at me if I drop the ball or something, or it goes through my legs. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to fucking yell at him, man. Like, dude, we're here to win, not to fuck around, you know? So.
Yeah, I know how sometimes things like that can be competitive, but I think it's in the name, recreational softball, Andy, that it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be something you're supposed to go enjoy with your fellow teammates.
That's what I'm saying, Dan. But what happens if there's ladies there, females, man? You know, look at some punk getting slaughtered.
Hit your home run and be like, I don't know, I could only do so much to carry this team, and then just, you know, point over at the rest of the guys and laugh.
But the girls ain't even gonna look at our team because we got slaughtered. And they're going to be like, man, forget them losers. And then there's some guys like, hey, let's go over here to this bar and have a good time and enjoy our company. Like, that could have been us, but man, I can only do so much.
Yeah, I hear you, Andy. I hear you.
Do you never know. You could hit a fucking home run, and even if your team loses, you at least will look good, you know? You'll stand out amongst the losers.
There's no I in team, but there's me, man. The fuck?
There is you, dude. There you go.
So I'm trying to, like, get this, all right? This is all going on in the last 2 days. And then I'm just like, what the fuck, man? So then I go back, talk to the guy, and I'm just like, yo, man, so when's the first practice? When's the first game, right? Oh, dude, the first game's next Thursday. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's just about a week away. You guys barely assembled the team these last 2 days. We got an extended weekend coming up. No one has talked at all about practice.
Positions, who's playing what?
Yeah, dude, because I already called designated hitter, man. And I got to have a designated runner. You know, you can't expect me every time I hit home run all those fucking bases.
Is there really designated hitters, or is it
yes, every player the rules,
have to play a position?
So you could have the rules state, yes, you could have a designated hitter, and you can have a designated runner, but there is a rule on the designated runner. So he has to be the last out. You understand? You can't have the guy who made that last out could do the running. So for all you know, it could be another out of shape guy or something. What does it matter as long as I'm not running, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, so that's been occupying my mind. And I'm just like, man, I have a feeling that's going to be a freaking train wreck. But I'm going to try to hit my home runs, you know?
We should go practice if you want. Just go at a park and to throw the ball around and try to hit a little bit.
So the guy, I was talking to the guy, and the guy running it, I'm like, he's like, oh, yeah, man, we're getting a lot of outfielders. And I'm just like, yeah, it's the dudes that don't want to run. Like, I can play infield. I can play first, second, shortstop. But third, I don't think I have the arm from throw to third to first no more. Like, I need, like, months of to get that arm loosened up, dude, because I haven't thrown anything hard like across the field.
You need in, like, that fucking juice.
20 years.
You need that blue pill, man.
No, I don't need the blue pill, but I need to go to GNC and start juicing, man. Some PED or something, because I was like, man, I could play shortstop. And I started thinking, like, if this is regulation, like, man, that's one hell of a throw. I think I could swing that one. But outfield, and like, you need a good relay guy, man, because that's you're going to see some dudes hurting out there.
For sure, man. But it should be fun, man. You know, as long as you go out there to have fun, you know, have a couple beers after the game and just kind of chill out, it should be a good time for sure.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. Like, in all seriousness, I do have a competitive streak. I do not want to go out there just to get my ass handed to me, but I do want to win. Like, I'm hoping, like, if we're competitive, I think I can make that work. I just don't want to get fucking slaughtered, man. Like, that is like a big no. That might turn me, you know, turn me off, dude, because that's the last thing I want to deal with.
So how many games are there in the season?
It's 10 weeks. So 10 games, and
let's say 5 or 6 games into it, you're getting demolished. Are you gonna quit, or are you planning to stick it out and kind of just ride it out to the end?
I won't quit, but I'm gonna start berating some of my fellow teammates, become a team leader, you know.
Even the guys that want to have fun, man, they just want to have fun.
You're like, you want to have fun?
Right on the most.
Hell yeah, you want to have fun? Then you got to win. Winning cures everything.
You hire some hecklers to come out and like berate them. Like, you fucking suck, rookie.
God damn, I'd be like, Dad, get the fuck down and grab that ball. At least kick the fucker. Don't let it pass you.
I got you something.
Know? Yeah, pretty much, dude. I'm not. Dude, you know, everybody, like, I'm not making this shit up, man. Like, when it comes to shit like that, I get really, really competitive when it comes to team sports because, like, I grew up playing sports. Like, I played a lot of baseball. I played some baseball in high school. I played Little League. I played, you know, some basketball. And, like, I took that shit seriously. When we lost, it fucking pissed me the fuck off. Even my dad be like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, we fucking lost. And he's like, well, do fucking better. And I'm just like, I'm only one fucking guy. And he's like, stop bitching then. So I'll be like, but I want to win. And to motivate other people, like, that's why the feeling I'm getting in is to have fun, right? But also, like I said, I do not want to get slaughtered. I want it to be competitive.
So, Andy, the last time you played, admittedly, was in high school or grade school. I forget what you said for baseball. What if you are the weakest link in this team? And what if what you perceive you can do and what you can physically do or what your body allows you to do is two different things?
I could do everything, man. I still got it. If I can't, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back and finish watching my Boardwalk Empire. Because that's five seasons in, and I got to finish that up. I'm in season, almost done with season two. So that's what I would do.
Man. Well, before you jump into Bardock Empire, for all your listeners out there, I might be going to a couple games and watching if there's any funny Andy clips of him, like, falling over, going to first base. You better believe I'm going to upload those into our YouTube page, so tune in.
Yeah, you're just going to see getting shots of me hitting home runs and then tap to first, and then my designated runner is going to run the best of bags for me. Then I'm going to go back to my seat and have a beer.
You're going to do like the Ric Flair dance and everything? A little strut?
Styling and profiling all the way down to first base.
Nah, good luck, man, for sure.
But you were saying about Boardwalk Empire, you started watching it?
Yeah, you know, real quick, I highly recommend it. It's anybody that has Amazon Prime, it's on there, all five seasons. With Nucky Thompson, or his name is Enoch, which is kind of a biblical name, but talks about when they start Prohibition and people get money. And it has a Chicago connection with Al Capone, all the old school mobsters. The original was like Lucky Luciano and Rothstein, the guy who fixed the World Series, Meyer Lansky. So it's a definitely a must watch. Like I said, I'm about 2.5 seasons in. There's a lot of twist in there, and it's not too bad. The actor, I can't think of his name now, the guy who plays Enoch, I don't know if he won awards for portraying that guy, Enoch Thompson, but it's a pretty good written show. It's right up there with almost as good as Sopranos with the storylines. And the show was produced by, I can't think of Scorsese and Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. They produced, and they're executive producers on the show.
Yeah, I saw that.
From Entourage?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great show, man. Steve Buscemi, I think, is the actor.
Buscemi, yes.
Yeah, he's a great actor, dude. Really played the role perfectly.
Yeah, it's. I knew he had acting chops, but I'm surprised how he's playing this character. It's. I've been pretty shocked on how well he's done with it.
Like, to me, it's like it's one of those shows that captivates you the same way Sopranos did. It's just a different era, obviously, but it gets you hooked into it, into the drama of it all. Because it's like always exciting. There's always something going on. They're usually at the center of the party, you know?
Yeah, it's and then it has all those old school, like, mob guys that are, it's like real life, and it mixes in with some fiction, I'm pretty sure. And we need to... It's like I said, it's really well written, and I highly recommend it.
For sure.
So another speaking of well written, we have a couple articles that we want to discuss with all our listeners out there and you two guys. You know, one of the articles for the week is Danny, you being a parent, and I want to hear your take, Noel, on when you become a parent, because I know I'm going to have a different take. What would you do? One of the articles is 6-year-old spends $350 on toys using her mom's Amazon account. And the article talks about how this little girl spent like $350 on toys and dolls. And someone, I guess her cousin was there when this delivery was coming in. It's like stacks and stacks of boxes, and pretty much it's taller than her. It's like a 6-foot tall box, or they stack up the boxes about 6 feet tall. The girl who ordered all this stuff is a 6-year-old girl. And the mom, instead of being upset, needless to say, she was upset, but she is, what she decided to do is she decided to donate all the toys to a children's hospital, as, you know, paying it forward. And I don't know if I would have had that reaction if my kid spent $350 and she let her keep one toy. Now, Danny, that you being a parent, would you do this, or would you like take it out on the kid? What would you do? How would you handle that? Or you I'm pretty sure you wouldn't donate all the toys or $350 worth of product.
I mean, good for them. That's the way that mom decided to handle it. Kind of, you know, tell the girl that it was wrong for her to do that, but some good's going to come out of it. I probably wouldn't do that. I would probably actually return everything back to Amazon. Amazon has a really good return policy, and just return everything back and give my son a good scolding. Let him know about how he really messed up, and now my bank account got hurt, so he's gonna get hurt. But no, you know, I'll tell you what, man, if it happened to my dad and I did that to him, it would be totally different. I don't think my dad would be talking to me too much. I think he'd do more in line with what I was saying. He would definitely give me a good spanking and beat the correctness out of me to make sure that I never touched Amazon ever again without having nightmares and being scarred.
Make you feel the leather, right?
Yeah, for sure. But actually, I think I mentioned it a while ago on the podcast, but Junior actually did something like this with us. But it was with an app on the tablet.
I do remember.
The Apple tablet. He spent like $100 and something. It was like some ridiculous amount. You know, usually these apps cost $1, you know. Maybe you buy a little bundle for $5, but it's something relatively inexpensive. So when I saw the 100 and something plus charge on my Apple account, I was just like, what the hell's going on? And then I checked into it more. Sure enough, Junior kept buying that loot box or whatever, you know, for $30, $40, $50 to get all this gear and all this guns and coins and whatnot. And, you know, I was very upset for that circumstance. I contacted Apple just kind of like in this article, they make mention of, or some people comment in the article saying how it happened to them, and they contacted Amazon and they were gave them a credit or gave them a couple months free of a subscription. Well, I contacted Apple and they did credit my account. They said it would be a one-time thing, that please set up your adult security so that your child won't be able to purchase things without notifying you or entering a password. So I for sure did that, and Junior has not done that since.
You're like, hey man, tell Steve Jobs don't tell me how to fucking work my phone, man. When you tell the caller rep.
I mean, I was like, you know, I don't want to hassle putting in a password at the time. So, you know, I just want to be able to buy stuff, and I have discretion as to what to buy and what not to buy. I didn't anticipate that my son would rack up that bill the way he did, for sure.
Now, me, I don't have a kid. Obviously, Noel doesn't have a kid either. Now, I'm assuming this happens because the Amazon, anyway, has like one-click buys or something. Because I know every time I purchase something, I got to put my thumbprint or even for all my accounts, I got to put in a password. Nah, I don't know if this 6-year-old girl would know her mom's password.
Well, it depends on if it's an app, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's on that computer. I'm thinking it was on their phone, like on the phone app, and then they just clicked on it because you could do it really easy through there.
Yeah, and Amazon does have the one-click buy where it basically won't ask you your address. It won't ask you how you want it shipped. It won't ask you your payment method. You set all those things up for the one-button click buy, and all you have to do is hit the buy button, and then it'll automatically purchase it for you, ship it out to you, use whatever you set up for the credit card, and you don't really have to do anything. So supposedly that's what the girl was using, that she was using that one-click buy and just hitting buy on all the stuff that she liked.
You know, I don't fault her for it, man. Like, it's a little girl. She doesn't know the real consequences and repercussions of it. Like, if the mom had left out, like, some really expensive, like, silverware dishes, and the kid, like, throws it in the garbage or breaks it or something, whose fault is it, the kid or the mom, for leaving it out there, you know? Or the dad or whoever, the adult.
Well, obviously it's the kid's fault, man. But, so, yeah, so
Andy,
I mean...
Put on your parent hat. What would you do in this circumstance? What would you do to rectify and correct this issue?
So all I know is what... culturally what I grew up with, right? And a perfect example, let me throw this out there. So when I was growing up, Danny might remember, I don't know about you, Noel, there was used to be like 900 numbers and all this shit, right? Okay. And you would call like, oh, hey, this is Hulk Hogan's 1-900 number hotline, brother, call me for all the latest shit, you know.
I thought you were talking about like the porno 800 numbers where they're like,
Yeah, those numbers existed, yeah. But I'm a kid, man. I'm not a teenager yet, man. But so I'm calling the fucking number, right? And it's like, you know, for the initial call, I think $250, then every dollar for every minute or some shit. And the call usually lasted 5 fucking minutes. And you would call every day and it'd be a new message by Hogan or whatever the fuck you're calling, He-Man. I remember She-Ra, G.I. Joe. Everybody had a fucking 900 number. So I was like, man, I'm going to fucking call. My parents are not going to know. And then sure enough, that bill came. And they fucking saw these, like, it was like $200 thing. And my dad called the fucking Illinois Bell at the time. And he barely spoke a word of fucking English. But he was able to conjure up his English language. And he found out what happened. And guess what, man? I never called another 900 number again. Because after that ass whooping, I knew the value of a dollar. And they did not reimburse him or anything. They had to pay him. And I think after that, he put a block on all that shit so no one could call a 900 number. So, but yeah, that's how I think I would handle it today. I don't know. Scalding, that's how you do it, Danny. Maybe Junior, he listens to you, but I don't know, man. That like $350. What happens if it happens more than once? Then you know, what do you do?
Yeah, no, it's a tough situation, but I mean, you were just a kid, man. Unless you were old enough to know what you were doing, but I imagine you were like, oh, I don't, you know, you don't know how much this costs. You just want to hear about Hulk Hogan. That's what was on your mind.
I just knew that. Ask for parents' permission. I didn't ask for parents' permission. I just did what the fuck I wanted. And then my dad did what he wanted and beat my ass, and I'm like, I can't do that no more.
Well, maybe Bill Gates is right, man. Kids shouldn't get all this technology until they're older and able to like understand the responsibility of it.
Yeah,
man, you definitely got to be responsible, man. The same way that these guys in Paris are being responsible and peeing into a urinal instead of peeing on the floor. Now that's responsibility, Andy. That's taking care of business and making sure that you do it in a decent way in a public urinal. And guys, that's our next article here that we got for today. Paris residents are kind of pissed off that there are public eco-friendly urinals posted throughout Paris. Right now, I think if I remember right, they have 4 and they're planning their 5th location. And they've been posting them usually like in trouble areas where people tend to pee outside for whatever reason. Either they can't wait or it's a busy tourist area and there's not really good access to public restrooms. So it's really funny. When you go into the article, there's a picture of a guy using one, and it's like basically like this red mailbox that you stick your junk into, and you kind of relieve yourself, but it's in the public. There's no wall shields. There's nothing protecting you from anybody else. Basically, there's just this box and God staring at you, and that's it, man, and you're just doing your business. So what do you guys thought? You know, when I ran across this article, I thought it was funny. So I'm like, I got to bring this up to the guys to kind of get their opinion as to, would you even use this thing, and do you think it's a good idea?
This is one of the weirdest articles I've ever had to read, man. They call them urinoirs, U-R-I-N-O-I-R-S. Think urinoirs?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So fucking weird, man.
Yeah, man, I'd be like, French word. I'd be like any civilized guy, just piss in a bush, man. The what I got out of the article, like, I guess it's a high area where dudes just be pissing everywhere. So instead of having like more cops or something, they're like, man, people are gonna do this, so let's just put a red ass box with a picture for people who don't speak French and go piss in this box. Now, you imagine it's a touristy area. If you read the article, a lot of tourists go there. You're walking by there, and you see just a guy pissing in this red box. And then who's the rude person, the guy taking the piss or the people walking by that make eye contact with this guy?
Yeah, you think about that. Down. Yeah.
You're like, hey, asshole, I'm taking a piss. Don't look at me. Or, you know, because it's legal and it's accepted. You know, and it's just like right there on a pier, or like they're by this like creek or river, and there's just a red box there and a guy pissing, looking off into the sky or looking on the other side of the river. Yeah. You know, and it's so fucking weird. I don't know. I can't believe it's legal for this.
Yeah, the French, they invent a lot of unique stuff, man. I don't know if you know about the bidet. That's where that was come from.
Right, right.
Oh, wow. They're the ones that invented that?
Yeah, they're also the ones that invented like shaving your pubes and all that.
They also invented blowjobs.
It's just
French kiss, menage a trois.
Very invented all that. European and open, you know, like they, the privates isn't as private as we see it, I guess, in France.
I guess so. If you think about it, they got nude beaches, so you know, for them to be somewhat exposed might not be a big problem, you know. But I do know that they do have concerns that, you know, sickos or people that are kind of what do they call those, voyeurs, or people that like to
peeping toms,
you know, people that like to like expose themselves in public, that they will take advantage of this new urinal and then kind
flashers.
Of you know.
Exhibition,
yeah,
or something like
exhibition
that.
Is, yeah, there you go. So they're afraid they'll it's gonna see a peak, you know, with people, especially because, like Andy said, this is in a high volume area. So there's like museums, there's tourist spots, there's those creek beds where you know you go on a canoe ride, and so there's a lot of people around. So are these people gonna take advantage of it? The other cool thing that I did notice in the article is that there's hay inside these boxes. So as you're pissing, the hay breaks down and becomes compost. And then they use that compost to fertilize the parks in the area. So it's got many functions, this urinal. And it's got my thumbs up for sure, man.
Just take away the middleman and just piss in the freaking bush, man. Like every other male man in this world's been doing for a millennia.
What about porta potties? I mean, isn't that like the modern equivalent of this that like predates this for like decades?
Yeah, the porta potties stink though, man. They're just on a hot day, that thing is brutal.
Well, this is gonna stink too, man. People just pissing, and then people that don't got good aim or fucking don't got, you know, big packages like we do, you know, it's.
It's a very interesting take. I would like to see that in Chicago, but I don't think you'll ever see that. You just go out in the alleys.
can you imagine if somebody even eats like some weird food? Like I know asparagus makes your piss smell really bad. You know, all these people eating weird shit and then it's really smelling really bad. And it's, you know, it's out in the sun. So I imagine it gets just as bad as a porta potty.
Got to throw some urinal cakes in that shit.
So imagine how much hay is down there, Dan, for it to turn into compost. Like, how often you think they go through that, man? It has to be every day, right?
Who's the guy that has to clean that?
Yeah, I know, for reals. But I know when I do my yard work and I cut my grass, I usually collect, like, the front yard. And if I leave that out an extra week, because they collect the yard clippings every week, but if I forget to take it out for some reason and I leave it for the next week, it starts breaking down and it starts smelling pretty bad and giving off a really nasty odor. So I don't know how quick, you know, the hay or whatever it is that's inside there breaks down. But, man, it's got to break down, just, I imagine, just as quick as grass.
Yeah, I can't wait to say when you got to go drop a deuce, what they're going to come up with, you know, unless they're going to put a portage on. But they're an eyesore, you know?
Yeah, for real. I imagine, do you think women are complaining that how come they don't have something to piss, you know, easily? And, you know, it's kind of sexist that it's just for men.
Yeah, if you read some of the comments, if I remember, was it this? Yeah, on the bottom, there's comments and people were saying, like, what are women supposed to do? Are men, are they pigs? Or, you know, men's are pigs and they can't hold them, you know? So.
Yeah, there was actually a comment at the bottom. A lady, part of like an organization for feminists, yeah. She complained about it and said, like, well, do we all have to adapt to the men that can't hold their piss in?
Yes.
Damn right. And
she's got, I guess, a kind of a point, but we'll have to continue that another time. That's all the time we have for today, everybody. I do want to thank you all for listening. And, of course, you already know you can follow us at Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. You can send in any questions, any suggestions to us at ffnquestions@gmail.com. We do have a webpage up, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. Take a look there. You'll see our links for Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, all that good stuff. Subscribe. You know, we love any subscriptions, and please hit that like button if you really enjoyed this episode. For Freeform Radio, this is Noel, and we have Daniel.
Yes, sir. Signing off. And just a reminder, hit up that YouTube, man. These episodes are posting up on YouTube now, so definitely give a listen or give a view, and hit that subscribe and like button as well.
Most definitely. And Andy.
All right, everybody have a good week, because I'm going to go look for a public eco-friendly urinal once we're out of here.
Well, good luck on that mission. And again, everybody, thank you all for listening. See you next week.
That was cool, Dad.